So, Eric, tell us what you're seeing as you start the day there after the election.
Well, Venezuela has woken up to a significant political change. The opposition has won a resounding victory in these elections, and I think that obviously there is a very real sense of despair on the part of a lot of people here on the left, a lot of the supporters of the government. There's a sense of triumph for those who have supported the opposition, the right-wing, U.S.-backed opposition. So certainly this is a very critical turning point in Venezuela, and so obviously the general mood has been one of tension and rejoicing and despair, depending upon what your position is. And obviously now we're still waiting to know whether the so-called MUD, the Unity Roundtable, the right-wing opposition, whether they're going to win just a simple majority in the National Assembly, or if they're going to have an absolute majority. And that's going to have a very significant impact on what they're able to actually achieve in government. With a simple majority, they can likely block a lot of the initiatives of Nicolas Maduro and of the Socialist Party. They can block any attempts to deepen the revolution, as Maduro has promised. They can block a lot of possible legislation, and they can launch investigations and do all sorts of things, and that's just with a simple majority. If they have an absolute majority, as a number of seats are still in dispute, if they win this absolute majority, they can do far more, including potentially recalling President Maduro, including potentially trying to make changes to the Bolivarian constitution, if not completely trampling upon it. Now, the difference between simply blocking initiatives and actually changing the entire course of the Bolivarian Revolution, that will have a significant impact on how all of this progresses. Because, of course, if the right-wing opposition, who are now going to dominate the assembly, if they move towards attempting to dismantle all of the progressive changes in Venezuela since Chavez's election in 1998, then you're going to see a very real conflict that will likely spill out onto the streets. I hope that that is not the course, that the political course of development here, but it's entirely possible. Now, I think that it is also a moment, of course, of self-reflection on the left, self-reflection for a lot of people who were supporting the government, supporting the left coalition. Why was this loss in this election so significant? Obviously, there are a number of factors, including the economic war, the psychological war that the United States and the opposition have been pushing, creating artificial scarcity, fomenting speculation in order to exacerbate the inflation problem, pushing the black market, widening the black market, and so forth. A lot of these phenomena of this economic war have translated into a victory at the polls for the opposition. Let me just give a couple of examples here of people that I've talked to here in Caracas, because I think it is important for people in the United States and in the West generally to understand how this has happened, because it's very easy to say, well, see, the government is just corrupt and the government doesn't know what they're doing, they're incompetent, and therefore they lost. That is simply not an accurate way of assessing these changes. For instance, a woman that my group and I spoke to at the polls talked about her frustration at the simple fact that she couldn't obtain the feminine hygiene products that she needed for her day-to-day existence every month. And so because of that, she was so sick of the government that she wanted change, and she didn't care what kind of change it was. Now, on the one hand, that's understandable. That's precisely the sort of thinking that is very much grounded in a person's day-to-day reality. At the same time, that lack of a larger political vision and that sort of ideological weakness is what the opposition has been preying on. Now, I'm not blaming this woman. I'm simply trying to understand how that sort of thought process plays out. I think it's significant And I talked to an elderly gentleman who said, quite simply, he refused to allow Venezuela to be made into another Cuba. Not exactly sure what that means, other than to say he despises communists, he despises Maduro, and he wants to see anything other than this government. Now, this was in a neighborhood of Caracas that is traditionally a stronghold of the opposition. It was a very different sentiment in the working class neighborhood, such as the 23rd of January. It was a very different sentiment in some of the other neighborhoods in the communes and elsewhere that I visited, where we talked to the leftist militants and leftist activists, supporters of the government, Chavistas and so forth, who painted a very different picture. They talked about the importance of resistance to U.S. imperialism, the importance of resistance against a U.S.-backed economic war, the importance of self-reliance, and the importance of Venezuela maintaining a truly independent position. Now, that sort of diametrically opposed political and economic and social outlooks, I think, illustrates the clear divide in Venezuela. So when you walk the streets of Caracas and you see lines at the pharmacies, you see the scarcity of products, you see the runaway inflation and all of these things, understand that they in and of themselves are not what are driving people towards the opposition. It is how those phenomena translate into these people's daily lives. That is what the opposition has been preying on. I think that is probably the most significant factor in determining the outcome of these elections. And of course, I have to say, Don, you know, as somebody who is a, you know, unabashed supporter of Hugo Chavez and of the Bolivarian Revolution, I have to take this moment for myself and my own self-reflection and say that I certainly underestimated the support that the opposition had. I overestimated the strength of the Chavista base, and I think that so for myself, I have an even better understanding of the situation here in Venezuela, despite the fact, of course, that my support for the Bolivarian Revolution is strong as ever.
You know, another one of the tools that's been available to the right is the framing of those personal experiences, because they have almost monopoly control of the media. With the exception of the one state-owned channel, the bulk of Venezuelan media is in private hands. The wealthy and international media are the main vehicles for people to understand what's going on around them.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and I think that it's part of the reason why the message, the opposition's message, so deeply penetrated all levels of Venezuelan society. Because I think that when these working people and middle class people and others, when they experience these hardships in their life, they turn to the opposition media to reinforce their own frustrations, and that's precisely the method, the propaganda method that the opposition has been using in order to drive people into their camp. Now, I have to say, too, that when you talk to these people who give you their examination of, you know, of the opposition and why they're supporting the opposition, it is always in generalities. It is always, well, we want change. We're tired of corruption. We're tired of inflation. We're tired of these things. But they don't actually have any policy prescriptions from the opposition, from the right wing, that are going to address any of these concerns. That is part of the demagogy that the right has used, you know, that, well, you know, the government has created this problem. The government has created that problem. Never saying that when we're elected, we will do A, B, and C to improve your lives. That is not the language of the right wing in Venezuela. So I think that that needs to be understood. I think also, you know, the psychological impact of the economic situation shouldn't be underestimated at all. You know, when you talk to people, when you walk the streets of Caracas, you can see the difficulty that people are having, the difficulty that they feel in their daily lives. And Look, as we've said, you know, in other interviews here, Don, and as I've talked about in many other places, this is part of the U.S. strategy for Venezuela, part of the U.S. strategy for Latin America. Maintain control of the media, maintain control of the pathways to penetrating the social consciousness. That is key. That is something that when Chavez was alive, they were unable to do. Chavez could get up in front of the camera for 8 hours on Sunday and speak directly to the people of Venezuela about every single issue that affected them, his position, his perspective, his triumphs, his failures, his mistakes, his new outlooks, and so forth. Without Chavez, it's much more difficult, and it's not a knock on Maduro, it's just that nobody is Chavez. It's much more difficult for the left and for the government to really get their message to hit home with people, especially as things have spun out of control. Now, it has to be said, and I want to reiterate this point, that when we talk about the economic problems, it's very easy to say that these are self-inflicted, that the government is corrupt and incompetent and so forth. And certainly there are some elements within the government that deserve blame, that have to be criticized, and certain policies that need to be examined. But I think that at the larger level, this is a product of much larger international economic and political forces. For instance, a country such as Venezuela, so dependent upon oil revenue, having to go it alone in the midst of a complete collapse of the global oil price is very difficult. A loss of revenue from a high of what, something like $140 a barrel down to below $40 a barrel, I mean, that kind of a significant loss of percentage of revenue will have disastrous implications for almost any economy. And in the midst of all of that, Venezuela is continually demonized. We have a black market here that is being fomented both inside the country and along the Venezuelan-Colombian border. There are thousands of places set up for the black market exchange of gas and energy being sold into Colombia at low prices in order to destabilize the government, and of course also to benefit certain private interests both in Venezuela and in Colombia. There is of course a number of assassination plots that have been uncovered, paramilitary infiltrations into the country from Colombia, crime rates have skyrocketed, much of that being attributed to Venezuelan gangs and Colombian gangs, some of which are in the direct control of these paramilitary forces. So there are a lot of complicated factors at play in Venezuela, and I think that we have to be clear that this is not a black and white issue that the government simply lost because the government is not good. It is far more complicated than that.
Going forward, it's going to depend on whether the right attains a two-thirds majority or a simple majority, but they're clearly targeting the Venezuelan revolution and looking to roll back its gains. One of those gains, of course, the Venezuelan constitution. Others are more material, low-cost housing, the millions of units that have been built, and others. If the government, the right wing in the government, attempts to roll some of these things back, will the people defend the revolution? And if that happens, what kind of a response or what kind of agitation will come from the right on the ground?
Well, it's a great question. I think it's a question that a lot of us are asking. Look, the bottom line is the Misión Vivienda, the housing mission to which has been determined to continue in the face of an economic crisis, looking to build its 1 millionth unit by the end of this month and in the coming weeks. This has been a significant gain. Let me just give you one example. I was at the polling place. Less than 24 hours ago, where Nicolas Maduro was scheduled to arrive and give his vote. Now, I stood there and watched elderly women scribbling notes in little pieces of paper and folding them up and giving them to the young people who were collecting them to give to the political representatives. I actually looked at some of these notes that they had written, and, you know, one of them, for example, said, you know, "Dear President Maduro, I desperately need a spot within the Misión de Vivienda, within this the new public housing. My family is struggling, et cetera, et cetera." The point is that these material gains that the poor and the working class have won under the Bolivarian Revolution, these are not just, you know, simple populist, you know, policies that the government has used as vote buying. This is a fundamental and ideologically foundational aspect of the Bolivarian Revolution, and the idea that a legislative election loss is going to roll all of that back and the people are just going to sit back and allow that, I cannot buy that. Now, again, as I mentioned already, part of this whole process is a process of self-reflection. I reflect on my own ideas about all of this. I have to say I underestimated the support the opposition would have. I overestimated the support that the left would have. And so with that in mind, I just want to qualify any predictions that I make in that light. However, that being said, I do believe the people will come out to defend the Bolivarian Revolution in a way that they did not necessarily come out to cast to vote for the left coalition. You know, I walked around in the 23rd of January neighborhood, a working class, radicalized, militant neighborhood, and every single person that we talked to unequivocally stated that if the right wins the election and tries to destroy everything that the Bolivarian Revolution has done, that they will come down into the streets and they will work to and act to defend their revolution. And this is part of the reason why, for instance, the 23rd of January neighborhood, which is not very far from the presidential palace, why it is traditionally targeted by the right wing and by previous governments, Hugo Chavez governments, because it was this hotbed of radicalism. Now, we also went to a few of the communes here in Caracas. We talked to some of these people. They are unequivocally saying that they will act to defend their revolution. Now, also, we have to think about the military here. What role will the military play? Now, traditionally, since 1998, of course, the military has been behind the revolution because of Hugo Chavez, because he came from the military, because he had the support of the military, and Chavez's memory looms large in this country. I mean, Chavez's eyes alone are the symbol of the Socialist Party. Chavez's signature adorns many buildings in this country. Chavez's legacy is almost like a living legacy in every aspect of Venezuela. So when the right wing makes an assault upon not just Nicolas Maduro, but makes an assault upon the very legacy of Hugo Chavez, that is an escalation. That is something I think that millions of people will not accept.
Just to give people an idea of scale here, when you talk about building a million low-cost housing units, it's a population of 30 million. That would be like building 10 million in the United States. And when you think of even three to, per unit, you know, a mother, father, child, and it's more like five an average in a household there, you're talking about a significant portion of the population.
Well, that's right. Exactly right. And look, anybody who doubts the importance and the scale even of the Misión Vivienda, of the public housing, anyone who doubts that needs to come to Caracas and just drive around and see the skyline littered, I mean, dotted with high-rise buildings that are public housing buildings. And a lot of them are actually, I mean, you can tell, you can see just visually just how new they are, how clean they are. You can see the communities that have sprung up within these collections of public housing units. And so, yes, absolutely, all of those people who were living in, you know, the shanty towns and the hills and living in substandard housing or were homeless, a lot of these people are now living a much higher standard of living because of such programs. And so, exactly, they may not be 100% satisfied with the left, with the Socialist Party and so forth, but they understand understand the material benefits that the revolution has meant for them. Let me give you another example. When I was walking around the 23rd of January neighborhood here, we talked to some of the people, including some of the community leaders, and one of them pointed out something very interesting. He pointed to the side of each of the buildings, and he explained that the box that he was pointing to was the connection to the cooking gas connection for each house. He said that when Chavez came to power, one of the first initiatives of the new government was to make sure that every single house in the working class neighborhoods had a connection to cooking gas, that they were able to improve in a very material way the life of each and every person in the working class and the poor. That's part of the reason why Chavez became the figure that he became, why he is so beloved, why the government meant what it meant for those people. Now that, you know, some have condescendingly referred to that as quote-unquote populism, as if that's something negative, but really what we're talking about is a government providing those material things that the people need and want. Now, if the opposition tries to roll back, I mean, we call them the opposition, I guess technically now they're going to be in the majority in the National Assembly, but if the right wing wants to roll all of that back, they are making a direct assault upon the working class and the poor. They are now launching not just a war against Maduro and the Socialist Party, they would be launching a class war in Venezuela. And if they do that, this could lead to major conflict in throughout the country. Now, I'm not necessarily predicting civil war, but I am saying that if they try to take away the people's constitution, if they try to take away the material gains, they will have a war on their hands.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.